They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Inflation gets ugly.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon in for Scott Jagow. The last time wholesale inflation jumped this fast, Walter Cronkite had just left the evening news anchor chair and MTV was about to make its debut. Wholesale inflation shot up by 1.2% last month, which puts the rise in prices for the past year at its fastest pace since 1981. The increase was more than twice what economists had been expecting. Even the core rate, factoring out volatile food and energy, was triple what was generally expected at 0.7%. Meantime, the government says housing construction fell in July to the slowest pace in more than 17 years. It's no secret that things aren't any better for the auto industry, so General Motors is rolling out a new campaign to try to increase sales. Buyers can get employee pricing again. The deep discounts on 2008 and some 2009 cars and trucks take effect tomorrow. And from the kick you while you're down file, more bad news for Detroit automakers. A survey out this morning finds that U.S. nameplates are losing ground to foreign luxury brands in customer satisfaction. As Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports, that doesn't bode well for the future.
Customer satisfaction measures what a company has done for or to a consumer.
But it also tells what the consumer will do in return in the future.
That's Klaus Fornell, creator of the American Customer Satisfaction Index. He says the gap between Japanese and U.S. car brands is widening. In today's index, Toyota and Honda took over the number two slot from Buick and Cadillac.
The ones with lower satisfaction will have to devote more resources, incentives, price promotions, and the like, and it's really something that they can afford.
In the top spot, it's a tie between Lexus and BMW. The survey looked at 22 brands. Chrysler's Dodge and Jeep were at the bottom. The news is not all gloomy. Overall customer satisfaction with automobiles is at its highest point since the survey started 13 years ago. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
The Chinese stock market has lost 15% since the start of the Olympics. Not what you'd call going for the gold. It's adding to a dismal year for the Shanghai Index, which is now down more than 50% since January. But a tiny ray of sunshine, while most every major Asian stock market was down today, China's main index was up 1% after some stellar earnings from the country's merchant bank. But this morning's discouraging economic numbers are weighing on Wall Street. The Dow has dropped 78 points, 0.2%. The Nasdaq and the S&P 500 both off around 0.5%. In Europe this hour, stocks are shedding even more. The major exchanges are all down close to 2% there. And we mentioned the rout in Asian stocks overnight. Tokyo's Nikkei lost 2.3%. During the past month, Home Depot shares climbed around 25%, which raises the question, what were investors thinking? This morning, the world's biggest home improvement retailer reports second quarter earnings fell around the same percentage, nearly 25%. Actually, though, this is one of those better-than-expected profit reports, so maybe investors had it right after all. Home Depot has been trying to think outside the big box for when the housing slump finally turns around, but with most of the government stimulus checks now spent, the only thing that's building so far is anxiety. Marketplace's Renita Jablonski reports.
This spring, Home Depot cut 1,300 jobs, mostly back office work, and closed more than a dozen stores. Around the same time, Don Martin was telling a couple carpenters he couldn't hire them for the summer. Martin owns a small general contracting company in Stillwater, Minnesota.
We visit Home Depot quite a bit less than we used to.
Martin says right now, homeowners aren't making improvements beyond what's necessary.
The scope of our projects have gotten reduced by quite a bit. So the amount of different materials that are required are quite a bit less.
Paul Nolte at Hinsdale Associates says that's why Home Depot is taking the long view. He says the retailer will continue to make changes, like putting more employees on the sales floor.
When the economy turns around and when home building turns around, they're going to be in a much better position to take advantage of the economy and of the upturn.
Nolte says that won't be sooner than the beginning of next year. I'm Renita Jablonski for Marketplace.
You're listening to the Morning Report for Tuesday, the 19th of August at Marketplace.org. The Trade Organization for the Airline Industry says fewer of us will be traveling over the Labor Day holiday. Higher fares and extra fees have taken a bite out of domestic travel. But international air travel is up slightly. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer explains.
The Air Transport Association of America says domestic air travel this Labor Day weekend will drop about 6% from last year, but international travel is expected to inch up 1%. Part of the reason, logistics.
You can't drive a car or take a train to Europe.
University of Portland business professor Richard Gritta says most business travelers can't afford to bypass international travel.
In the Far East, face-to-face negotiation, there's no substitute for that.
Long, uninterrupted flights actually cost airlines less than puddle jumping, says Air Transport Association spokesman David Castlevetter.
You spend most of your fuel on takeoff and landing.
So airlines are passing some savings on to international travelers. And best of all, they still get free pretzels. I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
In case you haven't been keeping track, England is in third place for the number of Olympic golds, right behind China and the U.S. How'd that happen? No, it's not the fish and chips effect. The UK made a major financial commitment to training athletes nearly 20 years ago, and now the dividends are paying off. From London, Stephen Beard explains.
In rowing, sailing and cycling, Britain has swept the board, and it's done pretty well at swimming. After decades of sporting mediocrity and downright failure, the Brits have finally hit their stride. There are many factors at work, not least talent and training, but money's also played a vital part. Since it was launched 14 years ago to fund good causes, the National Lottery has poured $7 billion into sports. That investment is finally paying off, as the former Prime Minister John Major, who launched the lottery, told the BBC today.
Without the swimming pools, without the athletic tracks, without the facilities for young people, they're not going to be drawn into the sport. Money is the root of all progress. That's what the lottery is about.
Britain's winning streak, says Major, has given the whole country a boost. It now faces the more daunting task of hosting the next Olympics in 2012. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The Olympics have not only been a platform to showcase the globe's top athletes, it's also given the world a glimpse of the many changes that have taken place in China as the country develops. One of those changes? Keeping dogs and cats is no longer frowned upon. As Bill Marcus reports, that's good news for the growing pet industry.
About 45 dogs a day come through this Shanghai neighborhood dog grooming parlor. It's one of about 2,000 in the city. Bebe is the collie mix of nearly retired microelectronics professor Yu Huihua.
I treated this dog just like my baby.
Like most Chinese, Professor Yu could only have one child. That son will soon be married and then leave for California. So Bebe fills the void. When Professor Yu was a Red Guard back in the Cultural Revolution, to have a dog as a pet meant to collaborate with the bourgeoisie enemy.
One family with three generations, just one room, one bedroom with three cubs. So no room for dogs.
And no money for dog food. But now urban Chinese have money. And Euromonitor analyst Michelle Huang says many have no trouble spending it, especially on pedigrees and other four-legged status symbols.
Some pet owners in Beijing, they are willing to spend money around like RMB 10,000 to 30,000, 35,000 for holding a funeral.
That's as much as $5,000 in a country where the per capita income is roughly a tenth of what it is in the States. The doggy in the window also fills another space.
Shanghai men, they married at an average age of 31 years old because of the growing demands of Shanghai women.
Huang says women demand a house if they're going to get married. But with Shanghai real estate so high, guys can't afford homes or brides. Lonely guys and lonely girls need a dog. Companionship also drives the demand for pets in China's big cities among empty nesters.
They cannot get equivalent love or care from the children because they don't have a children.
It all points to a trend. The generations just don't live with each other anymore, especially in the big cities. The result? A runaway $750 million-a-year industry projected to grow 9% a year for the next 5 years. In Shanghai, I'm Bill Marcus for Marketplace.
This year, China surpassed the U.S. as the country with the most internet users in the world. It's no surprise, then, that most Olympic ad campaigns in China right now have major online components. The prize, 250 million potential customers. Lisa Chow reports from Beijing.
One look at Sohu.com will probably give you a headache. It's China's equivalent of Yahoo, but the top three-fourths of the screen are full of ads. Some flash, some fly across your screen, some pop up when you least expect it. Stephen Lin is senior editor at Sohu.com.
Every advertiser wants to make their animation very colorful, very active, very annoying.
And American advertisers are trying to make sure they don't get drowned out in that noise. Now with the Olympics, they've aggressively increased their online ad budgets here. Phyllis Chung is vice president of marketing for McDonald's China. She says it's the first time the fast food company has done such a big online campaign targeting Chinese consumers.
How we make use of the internet is that let's provide them with a platform and a way to express their creativity.
Call it interactive advertising. McDonald's invited internet users to upload videos, poems, and songs about the Olympics. Adidas created a website, too, to let Chinese users trade cards of their favorite athletes. The hope, of course, is that all of this translates into billions of dollars in sales. But Stephen Lin isn't so sure.
Lots of the internet users are very young people who cannot afford to buy Nike shoes or expensive products.
Young people like 22-year-old Tony Lee. He spends more than 10 hours a day surfing the web. And he just got a job selling American sneakers to Chinese customers online, but he doesn't own any himself.
I've never bought American brand name shoes. I just started working, and they're too expensive. But maybe in the future, when I have money, I'll buy them.
And that's probably the idea. Get in early so that when young Chinese can buy, they'll buy your product. In Beijing, I'm Lisa Chow for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. We're always interested in your thoughts at marketplace.org. And thanks for joining us.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.